here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 12th of October, 2011. It was on this day, 1892, the Pledge of Allegiance was recited en masse, first time more than 2 million students. It had been written just a month before by a Baptist minister named Francis Bellamy, published it in a magazine, Youth's Companion, and distributed it across the country. It was a little bit shorter in 1892. I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It was revised to read the flag of the United States of America in 1923, and then the words under God were added in 1954. Under God was added because President Dwight D. Eisenhower had attended a sermon by the Reverend George Dougherty, who said that apart from the mention of the United States of America, it could be a pledge of any republic. In fact, he could hear little Moscow children repeating a similar pledge to the hammer and sickle flag in Moscow. And so Eisenhower was convinced, and within a few months they included the words under God as a way to distinguish this Pledge of Allegiance from one in the Soviet Union. It's the birthday of the poet and translator Robert Fitzgerald, born Springfield, Illinois, 1910. He went off to the Choate School in Connecticut when he was a young man, met the classics teacher and translator Dudley Fitz, was so impressed by him, he went to Harvard because Fitz had gone there. Eventually became a beloved professor there, translated the Odyssey, the Iliad, the Aeneid, had a wide circle of literary friends, including Robert Lowell. And it was Lowell who introduced Robert Fitzgerald and his wife Sally to a young writer, a Catholic writer named Flannery O'Connor, who came to live with the Fitzgeralds in Connecticut for almost 2 years, working on a novel. After she left, she wrote to the Fitzgeralds, who were expecting a baby. She wrote, "I hope this one will be a girl and have a fierce Old Testament name and cut off a lot of heads. You had better stay down and take care of yourself. Your children sound big enough to do all the work. By beating them moderately and moderately often, you should be able to get them in the habit of doing domestic chores." Here's a poem for today by Julie Cadwallader Staub, entitled If Life Were Like Touch Football. Driving north on Route 2A from Vermont to Maine, listening to the news, the New England Patriots coach was caught trying to videotape the hand signals of the New York Giants. I remember how we six sisters would recruit a few boys from the neighborhood for a pickup game of touch football in the street, how we'd break into teams, huddle around whomever was chosen to be quarterback, how the quarterback would extend her left palm flat into the middle of the huddle, plant the index finger of her right hand in the center of her palm, and then with finger motions and whispers, she would diagram who was to go where and when in order to so confuse and fool the other team that one of us could break free and go long. Oh, that feeling of running as fast as I could, extending my arms, my hands, my fingers, as far as I could, watching that spiraling bullet of a football, reminding myself, if you can touch it, you can catch it. If you can touch it, you can catch it. If Life Were Like Touch Football, a poem by Julie Cadwallader Staub from her collection Face to Face, published by Dream Seeker Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, where your mobile device can turn into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. And by CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, How Tomorrow Moves. Edited by Noah Smith and written by Betsy Allister. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.